Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F-Jams. One into it, just in case.
We dance to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Welcome back to Great Lakes Confidential with Angie and Marty. Hey, Marty B.
Hey, Angie. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Not bad.
Is it? Have you been outside today? Is it cold out?
Yes, it's cold and it's snowing where I'm at.
Oh, man. I didn't look out the window to see if it's even snowing.
Yeah.
Great. Welcome to February, folks. It's almost over, though.
What? February just began.
Well, I mean, like, winter.
Oh, I thought you meant... I just meant everything in general.
That, too. Pretty much. The groundhog saw his shadow, right? So that means 6 more weeks of winter?
Sure.
I don't know what it means. I don't know if he sees a shadow and that's what it means, or he doesn't see a shadow, but there's 6 more weeks of winter, regardless what he says.
I think if he sees. I don't know. I never know. Every year they tell me, and every year it's in one ear and out the other.
Same. Yeah.
So, oh, that's what your groundhog told you? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. 6 weeks.
And then I never remember. Yeah. I never remember by the end. Like, did the groundhog get it right? I don't know. Does anyone remember any of this? We just give that groundhog way too much credit.
Well, and yeah, we give him a lot of credit because apparently what they said on the news this morning was that he is pretty much wrong, like, more than 50% of the time. So
yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so we'll just keep using him as our, you know, I don't know. I prefer Al Roker to give me my weather reports, but we'll see.
Yeah, trust Al.
So, I mean,
if it comes down between a man who actually has done this for, what, 40 years?
Yeah.
Has an education in it versus a groundhog that, you know what, I don't even think that's the same Punxsutawney Phil.
Probably not.
How could it be?
No.
How long do groundhogs live?
Probably not that long.
Yeah, I take Al Roker over that, too.
Same.
I trust Al.
And Al we trust.
Yes.
So, aside from the whole groundhog thing today... at the time of this recording, I should say. I got some pretty cool news this morning. We are currently number 37 on the 100 Best Michigan Podcast list.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So I'm pretty...
We are climbing our way up. Yeah, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I love that. I wish we were on the Apple list again. I'm not sure where we're at on the Apple Podcast list. I could look it up, but I have not. But if you want to kind of help us bump that up, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and that'll help. And, you know, obviously share the show with your friends if you're digging it. So
yeah, please do. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your support over the years.
Absolutely. Yeah. The years. Wow. That sounds crazy.
I know. It's weird.
It's just, I remember, like, I remember sitting in your apartment and being like, we should do this, because you already had the idea, and then you drew some stuff and it was like, okay, yeah, let's do this. And then nothing really happened until we moved into the house. And then COVID happened. And then it was like, well, not much else to do, right? So let's figure this out. And
can't really travel. Let's travel in our minds. And here let's we do are. A little theater of the mind travel. Let's see Michigan. And yeah, that's pretty much how it started.
Yep. And here we are. So anyways.
The old COVID road trips.
Right. So here at Great Lakes Confidential, if there's one thing we love, it's roadside attractions. Mm-hmm. We've already done one episode on roadside attractions, but there's like a million things that you can discover here. So we're going to give you another small little taste of a couple places that you can stop by on your summer travels this year. Oh. First up is Lakenin Land in Chocolat Township, Michigan.
Chocolat?
Yeah. I've never heard of Chocolat, but it sounds a lot like chocolate, so I'm in.
It sounds familiar, but again, yeah, it could just be chocolate.
Yeah, could be. So this is from Wikipedia. Lakenin Land consists of 37 acres of land located on State Highway M28, 15 miles east of Marquette. The park is located on a snowmobile trail and consists of a lean-to where snowmobilers or cross-country skiers can warm up in winter months. Sculptures are located along a trail which is accessible by walking year-round and driving when road conditions allow. The park includes a pond stocked with fish, and an annual kids' fishing derby is held each June. A band shell also provides a venue for live music, and a music festival is held each summer. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
More than 80 sculptures are located in the park, and new works are added frequently. Some sculptures are lighthearted, while others provide commentary on political topics, such as a pig representing corporate greed. Others pay tribute to the history and culture of Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
Oh, yeah.
Construction worker Tom Lakenin began sculpting figures from scrap metal to fill his time between construction jobs after giving up drinking alcohol. He welded in his garage and installed sculptures in his front yard, but Chocolat Township officials told him they were considered signs and not permitted to be displayed in his front yard. Lakenin bought land near Lake Superior Shore in 2003 and created Lakenin Land to showcase his artwork. Regulatory conflicts between Lakenin and members of the township board presented challenges when the park was first opened, but the community embraced Lakenin Land's park. And in 2011, he was named Township Citizen of the Year by the local business community.
That's how you do it.
That is.
You won them over with art.
Yep. LakeninLand.com says that in addition to the sculpture trail, Lakenin Land also features a bog walk, a massive timbered framed pavilion with the coolest table and fireplace you've ever seen, a picnic ground, two entertainment stages, a playground for kids, two fishing ponds, a brand new timbered t-shirt shack, and direct access to the North Country Trail. And it's free of charge and open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're unable to get up there, the website, lakeninland.com, has photos and news stories that you can check out. But if you're looking to stop by this summer, the address is 2800 M28 East in Marquette.
Very cool. That's something I'd like to check out.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I love stuff I'm like that.
Me too. Big fan of what you would call the outsider art.
Yeah, definitely.
Just people just putting together their own thing and just being like, whatever.
Yeah.
This is my little museum for the world.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
And I like that they do it and then share it with other people. You know, instead of keeping it all to themselves. I love that they're, you know, open to sharing it to the world, so...
Especially if they're a little crazy. I like that, too. I don't know if this gentleman is, but, you know, when they've got a story and a reason, and it's suddenly they're talking about Atlantis or, UFOs or something, it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, dude, I'm sure they'll be in touch with you any day now.
A little crazy.
That's that gentleman, yeah.
Right. A little crazy, never hurt anybody.
Right.
I mean, a little crazy, like a little bit.
Right. Very small amount.
Yes, small doses. Up next is a Metro Detroit staple. Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Marvin's was founded by Marvin Yagoda, a pharmacist who collected, restored, and sold antique arcade machines. Yagoda initially housed his collections in his garage, but at the suggestion of his wife, he installed some of his machines in the food court at the Tally Hall Shopping Center in Farmington Hills, Michigan in the early 1980s.
So many memories of that place.
I like how it was at the suggestion of his wife.
Yeah.
Which it was probably more like, you better get this crap out of here.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into Tally Hall a bit, if you don't mind. That was like an entire like little mall just built for kids, basically. Like, it was just like I remember being in junior high. Like, that was where the kids hung out.
Oh, really?
Like, it was seriously like something you would see off of, like, Saved by the Bell.
Stop. This
little place called Tally Hall. No, I'm not a kid. Like, that's where I would go get my garbage pail kids. But I didn't like to hang around it too much because I wasn't one of the cool kids, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, you'd sneak in and play some video games, get some garbage pail kids, and you were good. You were good.
I love that.
I know. It was amazing. I remember they had for, like, it seemed like it was up for months. They had a sign on the marquee saying, come and meet the robot girl from Small Wonder was going to be there. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I used to love that show.
I mean, looking back, like, Tally Hall was definitely one of those places that, like, you figure out they don't exist everywhere. But I'm glad that it existed for part of my childhood.
Yeah, I'm jealous of that, for sure. We didn't have anything like that up north.
Yeah, I mean, and then they you know, once the area started getting built up, there wasn't that much money in Tally Hall anymore, and they ended up, like, selling the whole little strip mall area, and it got, you know, like a Kohl's or something. You know what I mean? Started building up all these different like Best Buy, different like big box stores in the area, and that's how Marvin's kind of carved out their little space there. Anyway, you were probably getting to that. So,
well, he later rented a space in the mall until it closed in 1988 and reopened after it was rebuilt as Orchard Lake Plaza, which is now known as Hunter Square, in 1990.
Yeah, and that's, they had this little spot in the back there.
Yep. Yagoda became a recognized expert in the field of mechanical and electrical game apparatus. He has been involved in appraisal of such items for the TV show American Pickers. He died on January 8th, 2017, at the age of 78, after which his son Jeremy assumed control of the museum. In November 2023, RPT Realty, then owner of Hunter Square, proposed a major redevelopment of the center, which would involve demolishing its northern building, including Marvin's, to construct a Meijer grocery store. Jeremy Yagoda vowed to fight tooth and nail against the proposal, and an online petition opposing the plan gathered more than 50,000 signatures on change.org. The redevelopment plan was unanimously approved by the Farmington Hills Planning Commission during its November 16, 2023 meeting, at which dozens of supporters of the museum spoke in opposition to the plan. The Farmington Hills City Council unanimously approved the redevelopment plan on February 12, 2024. Yagoda stated he would continue discussions with RPT to remain at Hunter Square as part of its redevelopment or seek a new location for the museum. RPT sold the center to a local developer in April of 2024. Yagoda announced in December of 2024 that the museum had secured a new location at the Orchard Mall, 1.5 miles to the north in neighboring West Bloomfield. The new space has an area of 14,000 square feet, which is more than double the size of the museum's current 5,500 square foot space. The Hunter Square location closed permanently on January 5th, 2025, and Yagoda expects to reopen in the new location in the summer of 2025. If you visit
this, I'm excited about that. Yeah.
If you visit the summer, you'll see P.T. Barnum's replica of the Cardiff Giant, one of Sing Sing Prison's electric chairs in which 30 people died, and an automation, quote-unquote, food inspector set up to continuously vomit into a pile of milk bottles.
I know that guy.
I don't recall ever seeing that. I'm not sure what that even means, to be honest, but there's also various modern coin.
Yeah, I have video of that guy.
Oh, really?
Anyway, sorry, go on. Yeah.
That's so weird. There's also various modern coin-operated arcade games and a prize counter to exchange tickets. There is also a cafe at Marvin's and free Wi-Fi. So if you'd like to keep up with Marvin's, you can check out their website at marvin3m.com. So marvin3m.com.
All right, man. That was, yeah, I know, just a gem of a place in the Metro Detroit area. Everything. And again, a place that I grew up in, basically. Like, yeah. It's so good to see that, you know, they're going to continue on, that they're doubling their space, and they're only going to be a couple miles from where they used to be. So, you know, they're still in the area. I'm excited to see what that place looks like, double the size.
That's going to be crazy, because you think of 5,000 square feet as being a lot of space, but once you get in there and you're packed, I mean, every time I've been there, it's been, like, packed.
Right, and I mean, it's, you know, everything's tightly packed together in there, too. So it's just exciting to see, like, you know, what old Marvin had in storage.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm excited to see.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. So hopefully they'll have some updates on their website, and we'll kind of be able to see when they're going to actually reopen this summer. But, yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So if you head to the west side of the state, we have the mysterious glowing grave in Evart Cemetery.
What?
Yeah. And I never know, is it Evart or is it Everett?
You know what? It's funny. I was even up there, and I want to say people say Evart, but
it makes more sense because there's an A in it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to call it Evart, so.
Yeah.
Until I forget and call it Everett, but.
Yeah, like I don't know. I'm going to have to put on an episode of Dr. Poe and see what other.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
So from 99.1 WFMK, the tale goes back to the late 1800s when townspeople first began seeing these strange lights coming from the cemetery. Near the cemetery was a railroad workers' camp. One of the men was in charge of keeping kerosene lamps lit during the night. One day, sadly, the man and his son both drowned in the Muskegon River. Since then, workers claimed to see lights in the cemetery that resembled lit lanterns the man would light every night. When anyone dared approach, the lights would snuff themselves out. The story soon got around that the lights were being lit and carried by the dead man in search for his son, who had also perished. As the years went by and the cemetery grew larger, the phantom lights soon became engulfed in the gravestones themselves. To this day, people are still witnessing these glowing gravestones. But why did they glow? Apparently, investigators have examined all possible solutions. One, reflections from passing vehicles, which was proven negative. Two, gravestones that were painted with phosphorescence, also proven negative. Three, lights installed and turned on by remote control, proven negative. And four, reflections from city lights, proven negative. So nobody really knows why they glow, but they glow. Jeez. So if you want to visit and see the glowing graves for yourself, the cemetery is located at 4395 6 Mile Road in Evart.
Wow, yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, I'd love to know why they glow. I'd love to see that. I'm scared to go in a cemetery at night, though. I can't even lie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've never been. I mean, never been scared to go to a cemetery at night.
Yeah. I'm
not worried about, like, ghosts or ghouls. Actually, the only thing I'd worry about are the other idiots that are in there at night.
Yeah, that's true, too. I don't know. It's just, like, I feel... I know I sound crazy whenever I say this stuff, but you know how you feel the presence of somebody when they're walking up behind you?
Yeah.
Like, I can feel that at a cemetery, and I just don't like to be there at night.
Yeah, like you almost have, like, the hair on the back of your neck standing up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's all right. I don't need to be hanging out in cemeteries at night, probably, anyways.
Nah, time to move past all that.
Yeah. So if you travel way north to Naubenway, Michigan, you'll find the Top of the Lake Snowmobile Museum. Charlie Valier, a lifelong youper, is the museum's chairman and tour guide. "I like talking about snowmobiles," he said. "You put a quarter in me and I'll just keep going." He actually has a personal collection at his home of about 150 snowmobiles. Why? Because I have a problem, he says. Even people without problems can appreciate the hundreds of snowmobiles, or sleds as they're known up north, on display. The goal of the museum is to tell the history of the snowmobile, which makes it a broadly accessible attraction. Its exhibit suggests that snowmobiles have been a blank canvas for frozen North ingenuity, an attempting side hustle for some businesses that probably should have stayed away. Paradoxically, the museum opened because of the organizers of outdoor historical snowmobile events in Knobbinway wanting a place to get out of the snow. That's fair. The top of the lake snowmobile museum is open year-round from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. Admission is $5 for adults and free for kids 16 and under. You can visit snowmobilemuseum.com for more information.
Very cool. And speaking of snowmobiling, I just want to point out this is the weekend of the I-500 in Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. The big 500-mile snowmobile race.
500 miles. So
500 miles on a circular course.
I was going to say, so it's got to be just like a circular course then, right? It can't be.
I mean, it's basically like, it's like the, yeah, like the biggest snowmobiling event like that in North America. It's basically like the what do you call it? The Indy 500 for snowmobilers.
That's amazing.
And it's right there. Right there, right behind Lake Superior State.
Oh, boy.
But it's a big weekend for our friends up north. So happy I 500 weekend.
That's awesome. So keep that, your UP accent going there, because you're going to love this one. We touched on this last place in our episode about Michigan mountains. So I figured we should probably, like, pass along some more information on it. The Youpers Tourist Trap, located in Ishpeming, Michigan, is a museum and rock shop open 7 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
Youperland has its only cozy ice shanty of hinterland culture, celebrated by Jim Hooley DeCare, master of all things Youper and the owner of this attraction. UP residents have to endure a lot of hardships, mostly weather-related, which translates into a broad sense of humor. The stereotypes of farting, belching, beer drinking, and sportsmen of dubious ability are grist for the Youper comedy mill, but it's all good-natured fun. De Youper's Tourist Trap has a gift shop and small museum of artifacts, but the best attractions are outdoors. Big Gus, the world's largest working chainsaw, sits on a rise pointing towards the highway. Even larger is Big Ernie, the world's largest working rifle.
Yeah.
Gus and Ernie are examples of what DeCare calls youpervations, one-of-a-kind items built out of necessity or whimsy and made possible by long periods of enforced hibernation. In the gift shop, for example, is a full-length winter coat made of cow hair. Outside are a selection of odd vehicles bolted together out of pieces of junker cars, snowplows, and riding lawnmowers.
I believe they also have the two-story outhouse.
Yeah, that's a fun thing.
All right. Anyway, sorry to cut you off.
That's okay. The Youper assault vehicle rolls on tank treads and is driven by a straw stuffed dummy wearing a motorcycle helmet with deer antlers. There is much to see here: an underground mine, a signed photo of Ted Nugent, and a man camp where stuffed deer drink beer and men dummies are strung up by their ankles, to name a few. Fun fact, De Youper's Tourist Trap was voted Best Michigan Gift Shop by the readers of Lake Superior Magazine.
There you go.
They're open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sundays from 11 to 4, and their address is 490 North Steel Street, Ishpeming. But you'll definitely be able to see the Big Ernie and Big Gus from the highway, so you'll know where you're at.
Yeah, I feel like the Youpers deserve their due, deserve their flowers.
Yeah.
You know, they... I remember being a kid, and you know, I didn't get any of it, but they've been around for decades.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've managed to touch the lives of pretty much every Michigander in some way.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they just show up at, you know, Christmas time, somebody listening to...
Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
No, what is their song about the car?
Oh.
It's like their Christmas song. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank right now, but... You know, they they've been around forever. They're legends.
Yeah.
They're legendary. So we give you your flowers, Youpers. Hooli and the Youpers.
They've got a song called My Car Won't Go.
I don't think that's it. Is it? I don't know.
Rusty Chevrolet.
Yeah, that's it. Rusty Chevrolet.
There we go. Yeah. I remember hearing them on radio stations when I was a kid. I do remember them being like a big comedy thing. Like I don't remember if they did like stand-up shows or whatever, but I can remember hearing about them as a child.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing is, I don't know if they were, I know they don't perform anymore because I think Hooli passed away, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, they haven't performed in a long time, but they used to just put out, those novelty records with a bunch of songs on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I drank too much beer last night. I don't know. Whatever they would do.
Oh, the Youpers. I love it. Yeah. So that's our show about some roadside attractions today.
Well, I love it. I think they all definitely, I endorse all of them.
For sure. Yeah. I actually looked up yesterday how long it would take to get to Lake of the Clouds and to see if I can plan a trip up there this summer.
Yeah, you're going to go to the Youper tourist trap?
I think so.
I don't know if I've ever actually stopped in there. I've driven past it, but...
I think I'm gonna try to do it. It would make for a long weekend. I mean, I've got some vacation time, so I can definitely take some time off and head up there for like a extended weekend. I just have to find somebody to go with me. So trying to figure that out.
There you go. Have a contest.
Oh, yeah.
Have a little podcast contest. With a road trip with Angie.
Me and some stranger going.
The clouds. Yeah.
That'd be weird.
Strangers are just friends you haven't met yet.
That's true. But I don't know that I'm a very good traveling companion for a stranger. It takes a special kind of person to deal with me on a road trip. So.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Silence. Nope. I totally understand. It's fine. I get it. I'm not a very good road trip companion. I'm afraid of a lot of stuff, so bridges aren't fun.
As long as somebody realizes they're just along for the ride, they'll have a great time.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I have to be in control of mostly everything in order to be comfortable. I'm not a good passenger, so, to share in the driving responsibilities is not going to work because I'm a very anxious passenger. Yeah.
So what you're looking for, is just somebody who's like, travels around the country by bus. Someone just lets it all, puts it in somebody else's hands.
Exactly.
You want them to apply that same mentality to their vacation.
Yes.
Assuming that they wish to go to the UP as well.
Correct.
And why wouldn't they?
Yeah. It's beautiful up there.
Should make a whole contest about it. And it's basically there's zero control in the hands of the contest winner. So we can even just even put in a kidnapping as part of the contest. Like get kidnapped and go on a weekend road trip with Angie.
There we go.
Like just show up at their work and force them into the car. And then all they have to do is just sit there for the next 72 hours.
Well, that's not all they have to do. They also have to split the gas price, the cost of gas.
Right. You have no say in what gas goes in the car, but you have to pay for half of it.
You do have to pay for half of it.
Right.
Sounds perfect.
And separate rooms, dweebs.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, we noticed your husband was kidnapped and his credit card is being used in the UP. It appears he paid for gas in a hotel room.
All perfectly normal.
Yeah, do you have any idea what he'd be doing up there? Oh, it's a stupid podcast he listens to. They kidnapped him.
Yeah.
And now they're making him use his money to a fun and expedition to the mountains.
Sounds like a lovely weekend getaway.
Yeah. And then just like that, we become the true crime podcast you always wanted to be.
There we go. Oh, boy. Sounds great.
All right. Yeah.
Well, that's the show, folks.
All right. Summer plans sorted.
Yep.
Thanks again for listening to us ramble on about this state that we love.
It still blows my mind every time I look to see how many people are listening and then how many people come back and listen to more. I'm just like, what?
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Totally appreciate it. And then to know that there's still people in different countries that are listening as much as they are is just mind-blowing to me. So,
yeah. Thank
you.
That's always, you wonder if you're in another country listening, let us know. Let us know why.
Yeah.
Are you an expatriate missing your home state? Are you someone thinking of traveling to Michigan? Are you somebody looking for soft targets in the state?
I would love to know how many people are listening from other countries that, or even other states that have decided to travel to Michigan just because they've heard something on our show. Like,
oh my God, I would love that.
I would love to know about that. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
Or even like if we've inspired anybody else to do a podcast like this for their own state.
Yeah.
That would be cool to know too.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole goal, yeah. Right? To inspire people to travel their own state or travel to here and just get out and do more, I guess. I don't know.
Right. See your state. Love your state. Yeah. There's a lot of stories.
So cool.
A lot of stories and cool stuff.
For sure. So
no matter where you live. I'm sure even Arkansas has some cool stuff in there.
I've been to Arkansas. I went to a rave there once.
Wow, see, there's a rave there.
Yeah. I mean, this was way back in the early 2000s, so I don't know if they're still raving it up in Arkansas, but...
Yeah, I think I've passed through, like, a corner of Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we just kind of, like, traveled across the border into Arkansas. We didn't go too far in.
Oh, was this when you were in Louisiana?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
So.
That's exactly when, yeah, I passed through Arkansas on the way to Louisiana.
Yeah.
Once.
Yep.
And then the rest of the time, I just took it on the other side of the river. Mississippi and Tennessee instead.
Right. I'm sure Arkansas is great.
Sure.
Probably not as great as Michigan, but I'm sure it's got some cool things there.
What if we did just start like a big podcast feud with like...
Oh, no.
Arkansas Confidential.
Arkansas Confidential. That would be wild.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not in the business of starting feuds, so I've gotten past that stage in my life.
Good, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Anyway, we probably should wrap this up now.
Probably. So if you're enjoying the show and you'd like to help us out, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And then you should also be able to review us on Facebook. So you can review our Facebook. If you go to Great Lakes Confidential on Facebook, I believe you can review us there. And if you want to send us an email, then you can do so at greatlakesconfidential@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
please do all that.
Yeah, I love receiving emails from listeners, even just ones that are saying like, oh, I caught your show and it was really cool and
it was nice.
I even don't mind the ones that email and say that I got something wrong. Like if I get a fact wrong, like please.
Oh, I would love that because I feel like I just sit here and just mispronounce everything. And
oh, we all know I mispronounce everything, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. No hesitation from you at all. You're like, yep.
No, I was just thinking, thank you for sparing me any email that criticizes me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I don't mind, but... So anyways, What are we going to talk about next week? I forget. Next week we're going to talk about, oh, this is exciting. I'm super excited about this show. We're going to talk about Icebreakers next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to love that one, I think.
Cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So we're almost done with the season. It's kind of crazy to think, and it's kind of almost sad in a way, but I'm happy to, I've got to focus on my HR certification for the next 13 weeks. Right. So you know, wrapping this up around the same time that school is starting is probably good, but it is kind of sad to not be able to record for the summer. So, but we'll be back in the fall.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, again, if a special event pops up, boom.
Definitely.
Out of nowhere. And a special episode. Special summertime episode.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome. Alrighty. Well,
all right.
We're out of here. So,
all right.
Have a great week. Stay warm. Watch for deer. Be safe out there. And text us when you get home.
Bye.
Bye-bye.